Good evening, fight fans. This is the Rattlegym Broadcasting Network alternative commentary for Canelo Alvarez versus Billy Joe Saunders for all the super middleweight belts except for Caleb Plant's IBF belt. This is a title unification fight brought to you by DAZN and Matchroom. And I'm your host, the Mandated Reporter, and frankly, I'm mortified, Mr. Mark Rattledge. And joining me tonight, once again, is my buddy from the History of Boxing podcast and the mania of all the WrestleManias, Mr. Pat Mullen, the Punchy Pugilist. How do you do, sir?
I'm great, Mark. I'm so glad I could step in on short notice here.
I'm always happy to have you on here. So you made a point of wanting to watch this fight. Normally, you're not so high on the new modern boxing. What made you decide to tune into a Canelo fight?
It's an intriguing matchup. I think it's about the best fight you can make at super middleweight right now, with one of the biggest stars in boxing against a guy who has done a lot of things I find very funny and can fight a good little bit.
Of course, you're talking about Billy Joe Saunders, whose current record stands at 30 fights, 30 wins, 0 losses. He is the WBO super middleweight champion. He won that belt when he defeated Shifat Usufi. He's defended against Marcelo Esteban Cuarces and Martin Murray, and now he steps in against Canelo Alvarez. Canelo Alvarez won the WBA Super, WBC, won the WBA Super Middleweight, WBC and Ring.
Duper Middleweight titles.
Yeah, against Callum Smith in December of 2020 in a unanimous decision. He took a mandatory on in Avni Yildirim and was an embarrassing fight, most people would say.
And yes, we would.
And now he is claiming possibly yet another belt here, possibly Billy Joe Saunders' WBO super middleweight, which leaves then only one belt out of his grasp, and that is the IBF, as I said, the IBF super middleweight title held by Caleb Plant, which presumably the winner of this fight will fight later on this year, probably in the fall. So tell me about this fight, Pat. You said that it's an intriguing matchup. What does Billy Joe Saunders have to do to provide the upset here against the dominant and the likely winner of this fight, Canelo Alvarez?
The thing with Canelo is, and especially with his last few opponents that he's gone up against, the thought process is the same for all of them. They don't want to trade with Canelo. They don't want to fight inside. They want to box him. They want to make him, work to have to get to him. But they've been failing to execute one important part of that. They haven't done anything to deter Canelo from just walking in on them and being able to do what he likes to do, which is go to the body, rip the left hook, spring the right uppercut upstairs, and then come with the overhand right disguised and put somebody away. Yildirim, who was a walkover, had nothing for him. Callum Smith, who seemed to want that idea, wound up finding him on the inside anyway, because again, he didn't do anything to deter that from happening. Sergey Kovalev was one of the few who had some success with doing that. The only problem with Kovalev is that he never went to Canelo's body, which I think is a big thing that a lot of people overlook. And I think for Billy Joe to have success, he's going to have to fight the first two rounds in an uncomfortable setting for himself. I think he's going to have to fight on Canelo's terms a little bit to make Canelo respect him. And if Billy Joe can land shots inside, particularly to the ribcage of Canelo on the way in, I think he's got a chance to make a real fight of it.
What do you think Canelo is going to do in this one in terms of, having watched a lot of Canelo's last couple of fights, tends to start off a little slow, a little defensive. He seems to save his power punches for later on in the fight. Sometimes it takes him the distance. Sometimes he's able to end it early, the Yildirim fight notwithstanding. Do you see that from Canelo tonight? Do you see him sort of being a little bit more conservative, playing, you know, staying in his shell and sort of taking and trying to drown Billy Joe Saunders in deep waters.
I don't think he sees Saunders as a guy who's going to run out of energy as the fight goes on, because Saunders is a guy who generally sees the final bell of his fights, and he's never looked the worse for wear at the end of them in terms of his energy level or his stamina. So I don't necessarily think that's what Canelo's looking at. What I do think Canelo's looking at is that he's going to test the resistance of Billy Joe early by seeing how he reacts to Canelo, just kind of walking him down. Canelo, in his last few fights, has done this habit where he'll walk a guy down, and if he doesn't really get any resistance, he'll just start punching.
Mm-hmm.
If he does get any kind of resistance, and really, realistically, we have to go back to the early part of the Daniel Jacobs fight and his two fights with Gennady Golovkin, where he was met with very stiff jabs repeatedly to stop him from just walking in and having to figure out another way to try to go about his business.
Tyson Fury said before the fight started this evening that his money was on Billy Joe Saunders. I guess they're from the same camp, and so he's standing by his man. But he was intimating, beyond them just being supportive of one another, that Billy Joe Saunders is cut from a very tough cloth, and that Canelo Alvarez is going to find in Billy Joe Saunders maybe his toughest challenge since Gennady Golovkin, and that he might even be overwhelmed by Billy Joe Saunders.
Is there a question in there? Or?
I just wanted to I wanted to see what you thought of what Tyson Fury had to say.
Again, Fury's going to back his guy. That's the loyalty in the camp aspect. You know, those two guys train together. They train with Paddy Donovan, among others. They're going to have each other's back in that situation. But I don't disagree that this is probably the toughest fight for Canelo since Golovkin. Because, again, I don't think he necessarily fought the best version of Sergey Kovalev. He was fighting a Kovalev who had been twice knocked out and didn't necessarily have his A game going forward. Danny Jacobs is kind of on the downside of his career at this point, as tough as he still is. Again, Callum Smith, Adney Yildirim, not really anything to write home about. I think this is the toughest opponent for Canelo since Triple G, and has seemingly has the tools to trouble Canelo to a certain extent.
Did you catch any of the earlier fights on the card?
I did not.
So the previous fight, the Soto-Takayama fight, I think it was stopped in the ninth round, and it was a weird stoppage. The feedback on Twitter was like, hey, he was still in the fight. Yeah, he was losing. He was taking punches. But, he was in there. He was giving back. He was intelligently defending himself as best he could. Probably needed to let, it's a title fight. Probably needed to let him, keep fighting until, we knew for sure that he was in danger. And to sort of further that point, Takayama, once it was stopped, was, in the middle of the ring, throwing punches and dancing and, making it look like, hey, I still have life in me. What the hell? So, very, very, very bizarre stoppage. The commentators on that one were, losing their minds. And, I kind of saw where the ref was coming from. He was like, you're not showing me anything that you're going to beat this guy, so let's save you from taking any more punishment. But, where do you draw that line? And that is a question I have for you. Where is the line between you probably have no shot at winning this and you're not doing anything showing me that you're going to turn this around? On the other hand, you're not taking significant enough damage for me to think that you're in terrible amounts of danger. So, what do you do in those situations?
Ultimately it's the referee's final decision, and a lot of times it may seem that they'll stop it at an inopportune moment. When that goes on, if there's a sustained, if there's a sustained amount of punishment that's been being dealt out, and granted I didn't see the fight, but from what I'm hearing, it sounds quite a bit like that Takayama was taking much more punishment than he was giving out. Mm-hmm. And that from a scorecard standpoint, he was very likely not in the fight in that respect. So again, it's probably warranted that the fight did get stopped somewhere. It's just the moment that the fight was stopped seemed inopportune. And at that point, that's more a viewer criticism than anything else. So I don't really – I tend to lean on the idea that as a mature viewer after a while, you kind of get a sense of when a guy shouldn't be allowed to keep going because he's just not going to win this fight. Mm-hmm. And if Takayama was landing his best Sunday punches, which it sounds like he was at various points against Soto, and Soto took them and continued to just fight on and fight his fight, the likelihood of Takayama scoring a miracle come from behind KO is not likely there. Referees generally also will investigate a guy's history before they watch a fight with them, and we'll see if this guy's capable of doing certain things and may allow them a little more leeway, and if there's not, then there's not. So I haven't seen it, so it's hard for me to say, oh, I definitely made the right call, but from what I'm hearing, I probably wouldn't have an issue with the call as it was made.
That's fair. All right, well, the both fighters have taken taken center stage in the ring. We are getting through final introductions, and we are almost ready to start the fight.
There is a judge in a Canelo fight whose last name is Cheatham.
Yeah, that's pretty dubious. All right, joining us now, fresh off his commentary, his coverage duties for 411mania.com in the MMA section, covering what was left of a tattered and destroyed UFC card, UFC Fight Night. Ladies and gentlemen, the coverage god, Robert Winfrey. How do you do, sir?
Better than Marina Rodriguez's face after that last head kick. A reference I'm sure no one will get because no one's going to have seen that fight. And it turned out okay. Yeah, she lost, but yeah, she landed a decent kick there at the end.
Way to go, Michelle.
All right, Robert.
Dude, if nothing else, Michelle can take a punch, right?
We've heard from Pat, and, you know, these guys are going to get started any minute now, so I beg of you to keep it brief and timely. But I do want to get your feedback. How do you see this fight breaking down?
Billy Joe Saunders is he's not a champion for nothing. He's undefeated. He's a pretty slick boxer, likes to fight long. He fought before the fight to make sure this ring was actually a little bit larger. I believe we're in a... Was it 22 or 24 feet they decided on? I can't remember.
I thought I heard him say 22.
22. Right.
He asked for 24, and I think they compromised on 22. He wants the space, wants to move, wants to fight long, which could be a problem for Canelo. The real problem is you're never going to beat Canelo via decision. On the plus side, Adelaide Byrd is not judging this fight. She was at the UFC event and turned in a couple of atrocious scorecards per usual.
No, but however, we do have Max Cheatham, not making that up.
I completely believe you. I assume one of the other judges is Dewey Howe.
From the law firm of Dewey Cheatham and Howe.
Yeah, pretty much. All things considered, I like Canelo to win the fight here. Canelo is, much as we've kind of bagged on some of the decisions he's benefited from, the man is legitimately maybe the best boxer in the world right now. I tend to like his chances overall to win this fight, but Saunders is nobody's pushover, if nothing else. Now watch Canelo come out and starch him very quickly just to make me look like an idiot.
I have Canelo at the moment at number 4 in my pound-for-pound rankings.
That is quite low, actually.
Who's your number one? Shakur Stevenson? Trevor Ryan?
Mark, I will step on your neck.
I have Terrence Crawford at number 1, Vasily Lomachenko at number 2, and Naoya Inoue at number 3.
I might swap Loma and Teo... I might put Teofimo Lopez in place of Lomachenko, but pound-for-pound rankings are a weird thing to try and parse out.
Yeah, and Canelo's got a pretty good chance to stamp himself as a top 3 guy, at least, if he can look impressive against Billy Joe tonight.
I'm pretty sure all three of those guys have fights coming up. All right, round 1, here we go.
I hope Inoue has a fight coming up. That man's a joy to watch.
Yeah, he does. I check the schedule pretty regularly. Anderson Silva has a boxing match coming up, too.
The less said about which, the better.
All right, and so both fighters take the center of the ring. Got some pawing going on from Billy Joe Saunders. And as I was telling you, Pat, before Robert came on, there is Canelo kind of in his turtle shell, just sort of seeing, you know, what there is to see.
The goal for Saunders at this point is, if Canelo is going to shell up, you have to give him a deterrent to stop him from walking in on you. He started by pawing with the jab. He's got to throw that a little more authoritative, and he's got to give Canelo something to think about by occupying Canelo's hands when he does it.
Billy Joe Saunders goes for the body there. It's kind of throws a single shot, tries for the big left, and swing and a miss.
Yeah, Canelo, if there's a fault in Canelo, he does tend to take a bit of time to get going.
That punch there is going to be Canelo's best weapon in this fight, is if he wants to close the distance and he gets close, if he can land that left hook to the body early and often, it's been his best offensive weapon consistently through his career, and it sets up that big overhand right that he usually puts guys away with.
I was saying before you came on, Robert, that my prediction is that we're not going to see a lot out of Canelo early on, and that he's going to take this into deep waters. Pat's counter to that was, yeah, but Billy Joe Saunders isn't the kind of guy who gasses out late in rounds.
Yeah, I think to the extent that this is going to go long, it's going to be more a byproduct of Canelo's sort of generalized style about liking to grind you down. He likes
and
to get close.
Canelo walked him down there into the corner and threw the right hand to the body, but Saunders spun off and correctly got the action back to the center of the ring.
Yeah, some really nice footwork from Saunders thus far, which is going to be key for him if he's going to have a chance here.
And there he doubled up on the jab and got it through.
You know, obviously a very different fighter and a very different fight, but that was what led to Canelo's one loss, was Floyd Mayweather being able to use the ring to his advantage, use a lot of movement, and definitely avoid Canelo's big punches. Canelo was left befuddled in that fight, and I wonder if Billy Joe Saunders seeks to, as best he can, emulate the Floyd Mayweather strategy.
Floyd Mayweather is not the guy I would try to emulate against this version of Canelo. I would look more for inspiration to his fight with Laris Landy Lara, which Canelo might have won, but he had a lot of problems that he had to overcome in that fight, and Saunders is not...
Lara also being a lefty, Robert.
That's true. And again, the other guy, you know, to give Canelo a ton of problems would, of course, be Gennady Golovkin, and Saunders is not cut from the same stylistic cloth that Golovkin is.
Tough round to judge, Pat. How did you see that one?
I scored it 10-9 for Canelo. I think he landed the more solid shots that did a little bit more damage. I think Billy Joe did some things in that round he should have. You know, he did double up on the jab at times. He did try to back Canelo off, and he also landed a good doubled-up left hand at one point. But I think Canelo being the effective aggressor and landing clean, hard shots along the ropes mattered more. If you're asking me who I'd have rather been Canelo in that round, hence why I score it that way.
Robert, what say you?
I agree with Pat. Again, it's not that Saunders is doing bad work. He's like I said, he's doing things that he needs to do if he's going to win, but he kind of got out firepowered a little bit the longer that round went on, so
I'm going to be very interested, and Robert, you are too, in to see the battle of the lead feet as we go on, because each guy was trying to outposition the other to get their lead foot outside and pin the other guy in punching range.
Yeah, that's going to be a big thing the more Saunders fights southpaw, and which is kind of his natural fighting stance. And sadly, that's not a thing he can lean on. Canelo has fought plenty of southpaws along the way, and he's never had a tremendous problem with it. But there are things you have to be mindful of when doing so.
So Billy Joe Saunders is doubling up on his jab there, which I like. Well, he started to, at least, and then, yeah, he's still doing it. You know, it's still kind of a half paw, half jab.
But he did something smart there. He poked in and prodded with a lead left hand that got through and immediately tied Canelo up and spun out to prevent an offensive rebuttal. And if he can do that, he can frustrate Canelo and score points and try to goad him into making a mistake.
Yeah, he really cannot get pinned up, or he really can't afford to get pinned up in the either along the ropes or in the corner, or to get into prolonged pocket exchanges with Canelo. That's a recipe for disaster.
Now, Canelo scored with a right hand lead, but Saunders took it well.
You know, I have to say, and maybe we don't say it enough in Canelo fights, but Canelo has some pretty good movement in his defense. I mean, every time Billy Joe Saunders has gone in for a heavy-handed attack, he hasn't been able to catch Canelo.
Also, I would never call a Billy Joe Saunders attack heavy-handed.
Yeah, that's one of the big problems that Saunders has faced throughout most of his career. He doesn't have a tremendous amount of stopping power.
No, but I mean, if you catch my meaning, when he really went after Canelo, he didn't touch him. Canelo was able to avoid his attack.
Yeah, Canelo's defense is perpetually underappreciated because everyone fixates on just how good his offense is.
Mm-hmm. To be fair, I will say, though, this round, Saunders is scoring pretty regularly with what he's throwing. Canelo avoids a left hand there, but he's taking his share of shots, and he's also using his forearms to block body shots on the way in, and his jab is really working overtime now.
Yeah, that long left, that kind of looping left to the body from Saunders followed by a pivot out has been doing some pretty good work for him.
Canelo just fired off three big shots. He had two to the body, and then it looks like it was a straight right.
Right hand upstairs, yeah.
Yeah, that pushed Billy Joe Saunders back.
And again, part of that is Saunders is dropping his hands to protect his body and relying on his head movement, but Canelo is a very smart shot selector, and another right hand just missed on the inside.
Yeah, Canelo is targeting the breadbasket pretty good.
He's one of the premier body punchers in the sport right now. I mean, there's other guys that you might find on more highlights, but I don't think too many people are able to capitalize on body work to set up headshots the way Canelo does.
No, and Canelo, again, has scored with a good right hand on the outside, and part of the problem is because Billy Joe is leaning to his left, which is traditional for a southpaw, but you've also got to balance that with movement, and when you're not winning the outside foot battle, you're going to be pinned inside for that right-hand lead, and Canelo's been able to score with it.
So we see, as the round breaks, a commercial for the Tomorrow War, which is the next big Amazon Prime exclusive feature, and we will be reviewing that here on Damn You Hollywood shortly after.
Wasn't that the William Shatner book series?
No.
I thought it was Tech War.
Oh, all right, yeah.
But yeah, we will be reviewing that. Look, I was looking forward to that, and then I saw the trailer. I really wanted them to go goofier with it, just to be perfectly honest.
Well, here's a hint how to get through that as we come to the end of round two, almost starting round three, and I do have it scored 2-0 for Canelo.
I agree with that.
Oh, is it Miller time, Pat?
I'm having a banquet.
Perfect.
Much the way Canelo is with that lead right hand so far through two rounds.
I was going to say, because we keep it classy here, but your reference was better. Yeah, that right hand lead is causing Saunders all kinds of problems, and it's going to get worse the longer it goes.
Right here, where you see with the pawing of each guy's lead hand, that's going to favor Canelo, because what Saunders is doing is, despite having a longer reach, by not being authoritative with that, he's allowing Canelo to gauge the distance, and he can pot shot him from the outside like you saw right there with a right hand underneath.
I'm really liking that right hand of the body from Canelo. I mean, he really, you know, how much it's actually making contact, depends on each time he throws it. But, man, he throws it with authority. I mean, it looks – I almost wish he'd turn it up a little bit more and, you know, try nailing him in the chin with it. It's such a good punch.
He will. Just give it another couple of rounds, and that missile's going to the head. Saunders is doing good work when he's able to keep at the very end of his punching range. He's able to kind of prod. He's able to pick at Canelo. He's doubling up his jab, like Mark mentioned. He started hooking off of it a little bit as well.
And that's about the best left hand we've seen him land.
Yeah. It's not like the man is having no success. Unfortunately, but they wind up falling into this really kind of tit-for-tat rhythm. And that does favor Canelo. Both men are kind of limiting their offense to be when they're able to find the outside foot position.
Saunders' biggest problem is when he doesn't punch off of his feints, because when he just feints and moves, Canelo will punch at him. You have to make Canelo respect the feint by coming with something on the other side. When he's done that in this round, he's scored. When
Ooh, big right hand there from Canelo. Big right hand there from Canelo gave Saunders something to think about.
And he tried to go back to the body with it again. Saunders saw it, and he blocked with his forearms again. But that means his head is there.
Yeah, the more Saunders starts biting on that to the body, Canelo's left to the body has been he hasn't thrown it a tremendous amount of times here, but it's been sneakily effective the times he has thrown it. Saunders does keep his lead hand low, so it's not landing as flush as you'd like. But even if that cracks into he's not blocking with the elbow so much of the forearm, and even then, getting that driven into your liver like that can be a profoundly unpleasant experience.
I don't love the taunting with the dropping of the hands the way Saunders was doing before. Number one, Canelo was very fast, very deft. I don't think the goading with dropping your hands and then trying to get them up fast enough to counter is a hot idea on Billy Joe Saunders' part.
It's just kind of what he does. The man's as much a troll as he is a professional fighter. And given how... to be clear, that's an asset when you're a professional fighter. So much so that professional trolls have now dabbled into... have now dabbled in the boxing world.
Get home to say.
I think one of the things that we're seeing, and it's an odd thing to say, but when there's not a lot landing, that is beneficial to Billy Joe because it means the fight's taking place at long distance where he's going to have an edge and probably be able to point and peck Canelo at that range. I think Billy Joe probably did better work in that round than we've seen from him through the first two. I still believe Canelo had the better end of the round.
I agree with all that.
And again, to me, part of it is the positioning where you want Billy Joe with that one right hand trying to knock him off balance because he squared up because he came on the authoritative jab and pivoted and stayed in place.
Yeah, and the more Saunders' legs start to get worn down a little bit, especially from all this body work, the less he's going to... there's not a lot of margin for error with his style relative to how to Canelo's. And if he starts slipping even a little bit, that's going to go bad for him in a hurry.
So here we are at the start of round four, and in the replay, they showed Canelo hitting him with the right, and Billy Joe Saunders sort of, which I didn't catch the first time, just sort of kind of went meh and laughed it off. But that's usually a sign you got hit hard.
Yeah, you don't mock the ones that don't hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you what, I think if either guy would begin using, and there was a good right uppercut from Billy Joe inside. I was going to say, I think if either guy used their lead hand to throw an uppercut, they're both there for it.
Yeah, Canelo tried the rear hand uppercut a few times, I think in the second round, but I'm with you. I'd like to see him use the lead hand. That's not a punch he throws very often, though, so I'm not sure he'll go to it.
And Canelo just short coming in, but it popped the crowd. And there's that left hand to the body almost getting through.
Yeah, that left to the body is troubling for Saunders. I mean, again, it's not landed clean, but it's been blocked. It hasn't really missed. And that's
now Saunders is punching more in combination.
Yeah, he seems to have found some kind of read or rhythm that he likes.
Canelo swung big. He didn't hit anything, but he was looking to knock Billy Joe Saunders out there.
Well, again, you know, the jokes about Canelo's decisions and whatnot aside, the man does fight to finish the vast majority of the time.
I think what we're seeing here, I think either guy would be successful if they led with their rear hand to set up that lead hand uppercut, but this has been a pretty decent round for Billy Joe Saunders in terms of the activity level bumping up where he can throw combinations and back Canelo up.
Yeah, he's also pivoting and moving very smoothly in the pocket. I don't know if he's got a beat on some timing read or what, but he's evaded a lot more of Canelo's offense this round.
And Canelo's been much more of a one-load-up shot puncher in this round. He went for the rear-hand uppercut, but Saunders saw it coming there.
Oh, good double jab there, followed by a straight left from Billy Joe.
Yeah, that long range...
that rear-hand uppercut got through, but Saunders took it well.
Yeah, he probably wouldn't take the next one all that well, though. Good grief.
No, but he came back with punches, and that's what you have to do, or else Canelo will not respect you.
Yeah, that's the worst thing you can do is get hit, get wobbled a little bit, and just back off. You got to give them something to think about, otherwise they unload on you. Anyone who's good will do that. And Canelo is very good. That, you know, for all of Saunders' kind of improved defense in this round, that right to the body from Canelo is still finding its home, and that's a problem.
So that's the end of round four. Robert, how did you see that one?
Better round for Saunders. I almost want to go 10-10, but I think I'm going to lean Saunders just for the sake of difference. Again, I might very well be wrong here, but that's the closest round to the fight thus far.
What about you, Pat?
I would give it to Saunders based on I would believe he landed more, and he was definitely the more active of the two in the fight. And I do think the shots that Canelo landed. A lot of them did land on gloves or forearms. So I would give the edge to Billy Joe in that round for the first time. And we'll see if he can maintain this type of style where he does throw combinations. If there's been a knock on Canelo as a fighter, it's that when faced with a combination puncher, he doesn't rotate offense and defense well. And there's a replay of that beautiful uppercut that landed right on Saunders' chin. But Billy Joe just pushes his mouthpiece back in and says, okay, let's keep going. And Canelo almost kind of looks discouraged in the replay, but Canelo's a professional, and he's been there before, so I don't think he's too discouraged by that.
There's Tyson Fury in the crowd dressed as a pimp.
You could have just said you really could have just said there's Tyson Fury in the crowd.
Nope, I have to talk about that shirt that he's wearing.
No, I mean, he always dresses like that. Like it kind of goes without saying.
That he just walked into a curtain store and they threw something on him and he walked out again?
And there was a lead hand uppercut from Saunders that backed Canelo off. It didn't land, but it was a good deterrent. And Canelo seems content to kind of stalk and hunt in this round. He looks a little bit more aggressive, which I like.
Yeah, again, that's one of the other kind of knocks on Canelo. When he comes in to enter an exchange, he tends to come in low, which does leave you a bit vulnerable to the uppercut. Now, he knows how to counter it, because there's no perfect entry into the pocket. It's just kind of, you know, pick your poison. Which weapon do you want to make yourself vulnerable to, and which one do you want to learn how to deal with?
So we're into round five. Go ahead, Pat.
You see, again, Billy Joe's using those forearms down low to block and relying on upper body movement as he pops Canelo with a jab to try to avoid the head punches.
Yeah, that's going to come back to bite him sooner rather than later. The more that he does it consistently, the quicker Canelo's going to get a read on it and start going after the head.
What I was saying before was, I mean, we're starting off round five here, and it's more of, I mean, it's a good fight, but it's more of Canelo just kind of walking him down and Billy Joe, you know, trying to figure things out. I feel like Billy Joe might need to start taking some risks and try some different things here, because if it's going to be 12 rounds of what we saw for the first four, even with some of his successes, and he just landed a really good punch there, Billy Joe did, I don't see him winning a decision here.
Well, again, beating Canelo by decision is essentially impossible. It's a minor miracle that Floyd Mayweather did it, despite clearly winning that fight.
And remember, that was only a majority decision. One judge actually scored that a draw. But we see here, this is probably the best work Billy Joe has done so far in these last two rounds, where he makes Canelo guess and pause, and then comes back with punches after the feints to force Canelo to reset. Don't let Canelo set. Don't just feint empty. Feint with something behind him. Then he has to reset. Then he gets into the ropes. He throws one by hand. That's it. And now Saunders pushes him back and fights off of it. That's going to be a very key thing going forward.
Yeah, Saunders is really putting in some good work this round. Canelo's defense, I wouldn't say it's fallen apart, but Saunders has found some chinks in the armor that he's been able to exploit so far. And really, I think what's fallen apart, we're in round, you know, five. But Canelo's footwork has dropped off a bit. He's not cutting Saunders off nearly as well as he was in the earlier parts of this fight.
I wonder if psychologically that speaks to Canelo's frustration. You know, he was pretty dominant over his last two opponents for any number of reasons, and now, you know, he might not be finding this the easy fight that he thought it might have been. And, you know, sometimes psychologically that can mess with you.
Are they playing Selena between rounds? My goodness, that's amazing.
Well, it is Cinco de Mayo weekend.
And there was the best left hand we've seen Saunders land in the replay. And Canelo took it right on the chin and didn't falter. But Billy Joe's scoring and he's finding his range better. And there was, to me, one of the most telling things. That was right after Canelo landed that big right hand along the ropes and Saunders tied him up, pushed him back, and punched him off. If he can do that consistently, he's got a real chance in this fight.
Yeah. So we're probably 3-2 now. I feel comfortable giving Saunders that round.
That's how you and I both have it scored, Robert.
Yeah, Saunders finding ways to, especially breaking the clinch. You know, Saunders does not want to be there for a long period of time, but if he can get there, spin off, and then, again, punch on the break, as long as you're not, you know, breaking the rules when you do it, that's a good way to score.
Yeah,
We are into round six here, the back half of the fight.
Now just imagine if Billy Joe Saunders didn't have pillows at the ends of his arms.
And shockingly, Chris Mannix has Saunders' head to read it to.
That's a little bit dubious. I think they're just prepping the commentary team to try and sound outraged when Canelo wins the decision.
So he had some interesting fighting in the clinch there before the ref broke him up.
Yeah, the longer clinch exchanges definitely favor the stronger fighter, in this case Canelo. He's really good about generating power in tight quarters.
Billy Joe's not fainting as much here. I would like to see him utilize more of that to just kind of make Canelo miss as Canelo scores with a jab along the ropes.
Yeah, that's what set up everything he did successfully in the previous round in particular, was a feint and then, you know, fighting off of it.
And there we saw Billy Joe double up on the left hand after a good one inside and made Canelo miss the body shot. That's what he's going to do. And there, doubled up again.
Yeah, the fainting leading into that kind of an attack will work for him. It'll work for anybody if you know what you're doing. The problem that Saunders ran into earlier was his fainting was not leading to anything. And if you don't do anything off of the feint, you're not actually really fainting, I suppose, if you want to get deeply into the theory behind it. If it doesn't set something up, then it's no good. Here he's getting some work off. They're both going to the body a bit more. Saunders is showing off a little bit of a switch step when he throws the left. Depending on the angle, he is still mostly a southpaw, but he's doubling up body to head now as well a little bit, and that seems to not be a thing that Canelo is happy about.
And Canelo got a good right hand through, but Billy Joe is right there taking it and daring him to come on. You got to like the confidence you're seeing from Saunders, even if he's getting hit, and he took an uppercut there, but he's trying to bait Canelo in to try to make a move and get into a war of the jabs again.
He may have lost the last two rounds, but Canelo's winning this round, and you know he's still up on the scorecard. So Canelo doesn't have to take big chances here. He can still dominate in these rounds, doing what he's doing, and win comfortably.
I think he's in this round with Billy Joe just not being active and just taunting after getting, you know, hit or hit almost cleanly. I think he gave that round away a little bit after a good start because he allowed Canelo to step in on him.
No, I'm with you. Billy Joe had a really good, I wouldn't say the first 30 seconds, but like the middle 60. He was really good, and then just at the end, couldn't keep it up.
He's getting a little overconfident in that he's tasted Canelo's power, and he's taken it well, but we've seen Canelo, again, and this is Canelo we're not used to seeing, where he's not coming back with something after the first big shot. I think if we see Canelo start throwing that left hook behind the right hand, it may be a different story.
We also haven't seen Canelo fully unload on Billy Joe Saunders yet. He's still 1-1-2, 1-1-2. I haven't seen him open up the way he has when he knows he's got the guy's number.
A replay of the good double left hand from Billy Joe, and you wish you'd have seen more of that from him if you're in his corner. Canelo, you know, reached in, lunging with the left hand, and was squared up and got caught. But again, lots of good right hands toward the end of that round from Canelo backed him up, and now Billy Joe starts round seven with a combination.
Oh yeah, Billy Joe starting off round seven with the House of Fire. He threw several combinations there,
and now again ties him up and pushes him back. That's what you have to do if you're Billy Joe after you get off on the offense. You have to find the way to stop the offense from coming back at you. If you tie him up and push him back, it's pretty effective.
I think the other problem that Saunders is going to run into, again, the longer this goes, Canelo doesn't let him come forward a whole lot. And Saunders, again, throwing combinations here will help. But it's long been, you know, noted and true that it's harder to move backwards than forwards. And Canelo is not giving Saunders a whole lot of the opportunities to kind of stand, reset, and kind of fix his legs. He's constantly having to move. And that wears on you the longer the fight goes.
Good work to the body there from Canelo.
Instead of the left hand to the right ass cheek.
No punching below the belt.
But again, going forward, Canelo is marching forward. Billy Joe, if he wants to negate that, clinch and push. Yeah, jab clinch. Your way in, clinch, and push him back, because Canelo is going to march forward if you don't deter him. He's almost landing that right hand. Billy Joe's timing it well, and now again, Billy Joe the combination, double jab, left hand.
It does kind of feel, though, that the longer this goes, the more Canelo's getting to him, which is, again, kind of expected if somewhat troubling. Canelo is just a tank.
That time, Billy Joe trying to fit Simmons step to switch stances when he stepped inside, but Canelo saw it coming and stepped around. But again, good left hand by Saunders to the body that time to finish an exchange. And I'm really surprised by the lack of combination punching from Canelo. He's really looking for one big shot at a time, and that might cost him.
By the time we get this deep into the fight, you know, we're over halfway through the seventh round, you better have got to the point where you can throw 3-4 at a time. And for some reason, he's not.
Again, his team might be looking for something specific from Saunders that they just haven't seen yet. You know, it just might not be time to flip that switch.
And we saw Canelo step in with a real hard right hand into Billy Joe, who was in a crouch. And rather than be pushed back or moved back, Billy Joe held his ground and Canelo slid off of him. That's a big sign that Saunders is not afraid of the power. And he comes in with a good left-right combination there, makes Canelo miss with the rear uppercut.
Yeah, we mentioned that, you know, Saunders not a power puncher. He's taken Canelo's power better than just about anybody has to this point. And if he's not, I shouldn't say if he's not worried about it, but if he's not as concerned about that power coming back as he maybe thought he would be, that's a big problem for Canelo. That's the majority of what he's got that it will.
And I would give round 7 to Billy Joe Saunders.
I might agree with that. I don't know. Again, that's another one that I could see an argument for either guy, but Saunders did a lot of good work. His volume is just going to carry some of these rounds, and if they wind up being swing rounds, that's a real consideration. It's just who was busy.
I think he not only outlanded Canelo in that round, but I also think he landed the more effective shots. I think I saw Canelo land maybe 2 good right hands in that round that were good, solid, clean shots. But a lot of them were picked off by the forearms or he was caught on the end of. Whereas even if Saunders isn't the puncher Canelo is, and I don't think anybody's arguing that point, he's landing cleanly, and that's a big deterrent.
Yeah, I'm, so what, 58, 56, Canelo halfway?
We have a 1-point difference through 7 rounds. 67, 66.
Okay, I was 1 round back on my math. Yeah, that's a lot closer than a lot of people thought it would be. I mean, bear in mind, even the people who, you know how good Billy Joe Saunders is, I don't think expected the scoring at this point to be this close.
I certainly did not.
Now, of course, the actual scoring will be much wider in favor of Canelo because...
What were the odds on Canelo tonight? What was he, like, negative
a
million?
He was a significant favorite. I believe the odds closed at about 6-1.
Yeah.
Boxing odds.
And look at the combination punching from Saunders there. Mixed it up well. Went shot across over the top, followed with a lead hand uppercut, and then a jab to close it out. And now again, Canelo looks like he's about to punch. What does Saunders do? Clinch, push him back. That's the right call. His corner is very smart to have him strategize for that.
You know, Saunders knows this is the fight of his life, if nothing else. And he's rising to the... Even if he winds up losing. Again, we've got this round and then 4 others. 3 others, sorry. My math is all off tonight. Been a long day. Even if he winds up losing, this is easily the best performance of his career against the best guy he's ever fought.
Doesn't get him any closer to Caleb Plant, though, and that's the goal here.
And somehow, Chris, now Carl Frost has the 66 Canelo. And there was a good run underneath. Chris Mannix has a 3-point edge for Billy Joe, which I find questionable.
To the shock of no one.
Yeah, so we're in for an interesting score tonight, boys. But that was a good right hand, and that seems to have cut Billy Joe, if I'm not mistaken, on the eye.
See, ooh. I can see it in Canelo's eyes now. He saw what he needed to see from Saunders. Now the flip is going to switch.
You mean the switch is going to flip?
I said what I meant, and I meant what I said.
Sure you did.
There it is. Boom.
Proud.
Ooh. Downstairs, upstairs,
yeah,
twisting through the never.
He hurt him with that. He's got the left hook to the body working. Canelo sees and, I assume, smells the blood. He is going for it.
Yeah.
He's putting it all out there right now as best he has through this whole fight.
Yeah, something about this round in particular seems to have really turned. Like you said, that particular switch, he's got it turned over now. He's finally accelerated.
That's
the
pattern with these. And I said this at the beginning of the pad. I said he always comes out slow. He always comes out cautiously and conservatively, and then he sees what he needs to see, and he goes, "Okay, you're dead now," and we've hit that phase. Sometimes it happens earlier. Sometimes it happens later, but it does happen almost every time I've seen Canelo fight.
Yeah, Saunders is hurt. I mean, his legs are okay under him, but he's stopped throwing back, which is a big tell about something like this.
But he weathered the storm and got through the round.
Yeah, serious kudos to him, because he got hit. I mean, that right that Canelo cracked him with, that was a serious punch.
Yeah, and you can see the damage on the eye is very apparent. There's a cut definitely underneath it.
If it's underneath, he's probably okay. We're not in too much danger of getting
doctors. But he is swelling pretty well as well.
Yeah.
I was going to say, he's in danger of that thing swelling shut.
Yeah, they might give the cut man a bit to work on it, but if that gets much worse, they might stop this for this, if that swells too much more. And to be clear, I don't object to that. If you can't see, you can't fight.
And they are stopping it.
Really? Hang on. I'm a little bit behind you, so I need to get a good look at the swelling here because... Oh, okay.
I'm telling Robert, you guys were talking about it. I'm like, no, I'm looking at that. I'm like, they're going to stop this fight.
Yeah.
If not this round, then the next.
No. As I see the swelling better now, it's under the eyebrow. Like, there's nowhere to push that. It's going to swell over the eyelid and stop him from opening his eye.
So
he might even
have
said he can't see. Yeah, that's a very small cut. Yeah, I think that's the right call. As I get a better look at that swelling, like, that's a rough... That's just an unfortunate area that the swelling got into, because if it gets under the... You want it... You never want your eye to swell, but if you want it to the side and, again, over the eyebrow, because then you can kind of monkey with the swelling. When it's under like that, kind of into the orbital area, there's just not a lot of things the cut man can do to diffuse it and to let you open your eye, so...
And you don't want to send him out there, and I don't even know if he can with just one eye.
I don't think it's a lack of him wanting to. I think he tried for it, but I think his corner's really trying to look out for his career and his best interests.
Yeah.
Okay, we talked about this with Joe Frazier. I mean, the heart may be there, but if the eyes are not willing or able, there's no reason to send you out there just to get brain damage.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you can see he can't even open his eye right now.
Yeah, there was no saving that.
So, Canelo wins again, and this time not by a goofy decision.
Wait until we see the official scorecard, which they will release at some point in the future, and we can see how goofy it would have been.
Well, as I was saying at the top of the broadcast... I suspect we should be seeing Caleb Plant any minute now, who will they'll get in there and they'll say, okay, this is what's next for Canelo. I mean, they announced this fight right at the end of the Yildirim card because there was no way he was losing that fight. So they were like, they had Billy Joe Saunders just ready to go. But I think it had even been in the planning stages while they were making the Yildirim fight. It was like, okay, let's get this mandatory out of the way, and then we know Billy Joe Saunders is next on May 8th. But I'm wondering now, you know, are they going to do the same thing here now with Caleb Plant? You know, let's get him in there. Let's get a photograph. I'm wondering if they have a date picked out. And hey, maybe the stars will align and we'll actually get an announcement for Tyson Fury, Joshua, and Anthony Joshua tonight.
I doubt it. Eddie Hearn and Bob Arum are too busy having a little sissy slap fight.
That's been the rumor. In fact, the date making the rounds on Twitter tonight was August 14th, which doesn't really work for me, Eddie. I'm going to need you to move back a week.
Don't review a terrible movie and you'll be fine.
I think that's when you're on vacation.
No, August 14th, I'm back. I'm just working.
Actually,
August 14th, I was supposed to be at Megadeth and Lamb of God, but they moved the tour, and then we lost the Florida date.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
It is. I was not happy that day.
I imagine you took it out on some poor, helpless prisoner.
I am always the height of professionalism.
The very height. Haven't you had coworkers complain about you?
My lack of professionalism? More my attitude than my lack of professionalism.
Yeah, fair enough.
Not you.
No, I'm always a bright ray of sunshine. All right, I'm kind of hanging on here to see, you know, if we're going to get any, you know, if we're going to get any fun announcements or anything. So, in the meantime, Pat, you and I have a new series. Let's talk about that for a minute while we're getting announcements here and of the winner and whatnot. You and I have a new boxing series coming up. We're starting a new book. We're starting a new series, and it's going to be on the Four Kings. So why don't you talk a little bit about that, what we're doing?
So, yeah, we're going to be reviewing kind of the last golden era of boxing in the minds of many, the era of the Four Kings, Duran, Leonard, Hagler, and Hearns. And basically, we're going to look at each guy's kind of career leading up to the start of the rivalry in 1980 and all the way through each of the fights that encompass it through 1989. We begin the decade with the rivalry and we end the decade with the rivalry. And for a lot of people, this defines the last real incredible era of pound-for-pound boxers fighting each other on a regular basis without a lot of things going haywire around it. And we'll look at each of the four kings themselves, the things that made them, and the fights that happened as they did, and just, you know, have a great time going through history, looking at four of the very best fighters that ever lived and their fights against each other.
And that's going to we're going to do one of those per month, and that's going to take us into next year. So what I thought was going to be one show is turned into a whole new series, a whole new book. So I'm excited about that. Plus,
you can't talk about those four in one show. You just can't.
I see that now. We've also got the Mania of WrestleMania shows coming up. We got WrestleMania 2 this month. We'll be talking about that next month or so. We'll be doing WrestleMania 3 and so on and so forth from there. So I'm looking forward to that. We had good feedback WrestleMania week for our WrestleMania 1 review. And this time around, we'll be joined by Chris Bailey, who loves to talk about the history of pro wrestling. So I'm excited for that. Robert, you covered a UFC tonight. You want to go over that in real brief?
Yeah, there were 9 fights. UFC on ESPN 24, I believe it was. Fights happened. The main event turned out to be a pretty good fight down the stretch. Cowboy Cerrone got steamrolled. It's becoming an increasingly common thing. Cowboy hasn't won a fight since he beat Ally Aquinta like 6 fights ago.
That's not good.
No, it's not. Might be time to hang him up, Cowboy. Yeah, there was an Anaconda choke on the prelims. Yeah, there wasn't a bad card. It wasn't great. But given all the crap that card went through, the fact that it wasn't a dumpster fire will be considered a win by most. Not me, but most. So there's that. Let's see. Next week is UFC 262. The vacant lightweight title will be contested between Michael Chandler and Charles Oliveira.
Let me jump in here. So I have scorecards through round 8.
All right.
First round, Billy Joe over Canelo, 10-9.
Whose scorecards are these?
Glenn Feldman.
Okay.
Next 3 rounds were Canelo, 10-9. Round 5 went to Billy Joe Saunders. And the last 3 rounds, 6, 7, 8, went to Canelo for a score of 78-74 for Canelo.
That's a little bit.
Tim Cheatham had it 77-75. He gave the first round to Billy Joe, the next 3 to Canelo. Round 5 to Billy Joe, and then 7 to Billy Joe. Again, oh,
cheat him with a with a somewhat reasonable scorecard.
Yeah, the irony is very layered.
70-75. Max DeLuca had it 78-74. He had it roughly the same as the other two guys. They gave it to running round five to Billy Joe, and that was it.
Now that's a little bit of that seems quite wrong. I think Saunders at least should have had the sixth. The sixth.
Right. Either way, whatever crazy scorecard was was on the broadcast, that was not any of the official scorecards from the judges. All right, so they're talking to Canelo in the middle of the ring here, and I suspect they're going to talk about the Caleb Plant fight next.
Plant is the last recognized world champion at 168 who is not named Canelo after Canelo took this belt.
Mm-hmm.
And Canelo's stated plan was to assemble the Infinity Stone, snap his fingers, and wipe out everyone not of Mexican descent. So he needs to acquire the... I'm kidding. He wants to unify all the belts at 168. My bad jokes aside, he's got all of them except the one that Caleb Plant has. And on the plus side, if you're Caleb Plant, there's some stuff you can take out of this fight that might be stuff you could use. I still favor Canelo in that fight, but a slick, rangy boxer might be able to cause him some problems.
Yeah, I don't think Plant is. Unfortunately, I don't think Plant is up to the task as Billy Joe was, and unfortunately, he just had an eye break on him while the fight happened, while he was doing very well for himself.
Yeah. Again, Plant might be a better technician than Billy Joe, but he also doesn't quite have Billy... I mean, for as much as we mock Billy Joe's punching power, Plant might be roughly on par with him in that respect.
All right. So I think we're done here. Ended a little earlier than I thought it would, but that's Canelo for you. All right, anything else, guys? Anything else you want to plug? Anything else you want to talk about before we head out for the night?
Let's see. Mark, you and I have a bunch of stuff coming up this month.
Yeah, we got Wrath of Man on Tuesday.
And then Falcon and the Winter Soldier on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
We have something else.
Oh, wait, he's still interviewing Eddie Hearn. We might actually get an announcement here.
All right, go ahead while I double-check the calendar.
I can't hear it, Pat. Is there anything said of interest?
Eddie Hearn wants to keep the good times rolling.
Well, when you're a 6'5", multimillionaire, I think that's an admirable sentiment.
Checking Twitter to see. People are annoyed at the scar cards. Think they should have been more rounds given to Billy Joe.
Yeah.
Oh, look, a correct estimate. That's scary.
Look, some of that's also going to be Billy Joe overperforming relative to ignorant expectations and people thinking he should be rewarded for it. Like the number of morons that think people beat John Jones just because he didn't blow them out in the first round.
Yeah, that happened pretty often.
Really did. Again, which is not to say that there's no cause for, giving Billy Joe Saunders rounds. We both had it, only, what, two points apart?
Yeah.
It's not like the man did poorly, but I think that's about the most that you can give him.
Yeah, of the scorecard, ironically enough, had it the right score out of everybody. I think Feldman and DeLuca were kind of just giving any round they could to Canelo, basically.
All right. If anything interesting happens, I'll share it on Twitter. Folks, thanks for joining us here on the alternative commentary for the Rattlegion Broadcasting Network coverage of Canelo versus Billy Joe Saunders. For Robert Winfrey and Pat Mullen, I'm Mark Rattledge. Be well, be safe, and behave.